All God's people said. One of the things that always amuses me every time we have a gathering with a whole lot of guests is everybody gets scared. Everybody's worried they're going to sit in somebody else's seat. Everybody's worried they're not going to know something. They are going to say the right thing. So I want every you to turn to your neighbor and say, "Do not fear." Now look at the other neighbor and say, "Do not fear." Now look at the other neighbor and say, "I hope he preaches for a short amount of time." Look at the other neighbor and say, "Because I'm hungry." Breathe. It's all okay. But you know, fear is a powerful motivator in our lives. And for those of you who are just joining us today, the congregation here at Forest UMC, we've been going through a sermon series in Exodus as we have looked at the journey of God's people. And time again, we have seen how fear has impacted the life of the Israelites. That it's always keeping them from doing the things that God wants them to do. It's always keeping them from being bold. The fact is, if you play a sport, you understand that there is some conquering of fear that has to happen for you to perform. Is you've got to believe that you got this. You've got to believe that the other team is not any better than you are. You've got to have faith in your own abilities and in your own gifts and graces in order to get out of there time and time again and give it your best. But yet and still, if we're all honest with ourselves, sometimes we are too ruled by our fears rather than the boldness that should be ours as children of God. That's exactly what we see in our scripture today, is fear runs amok. Because, you know, I can remember growing up and hearing the story of the golden calf, and I remember always thinking, because, you know, when you hear the story on this side of it, we're always filled with righteous indignation. Oh, we would never do such things. We are so much better than those folks. And I can always remember, why would they do that? After all that God had done to deliver them out of Egypt, after all of the incredibly mighty works they had seen, after all of the plagues, after the Red Sea, after the manna, after the quail, after the water, time and time again, they had seen God do amazing things. And so why, after all that they had seen God do, would they give up? Why would they give up on God after God, all God had done for them? But if we look at the scripture today and if we look at the story, we realize from the very beginning that what led them into this moment of failure was fear. Let's look again at verse 1. The people saw that a long time had passed and Moses had not come down from the mountain. So they gathered around Aaron and said, "Moses led us out of Egypt, but we don't know what has happened to him. Make us gods who will lead us." They were scared. Moses, the one, the figure who had done all these amazing things. Moses, the one who always was the mouthpiece of God. Moses, the great leader that had been put in front of them, was now missing. Now, we know the story. We know what Moses is up to. We know Moses isn't missing. He's right where God needed him to be. But for them, they didn't know that. They didn't know what was going on. All they knew was that Moses was gone, and he was gone for a very long time, and they got scared. And they said, "You've got to give us someone who is going to lead us because we're lost in this wilderness." Fear. Fear is what overtook the children of Israel. Fear is what helped them to forget all that they had seen and experienced and witnessed, because that's just how strong fear can be. That in that moment, we forget all the times that we've done this before. We forget all the times we've conquered things. In that moment, all we can see is desperation. And that's what the children of Israel saw. They were lost. They didn't know where they were. They didn't know where they were going. They needed something, and the person who was their rock was missing. And they were scared, and they said, "We've got to have someone new. Make us gods. Make us gods that we can see. Make us gods that we can touch. Make us gods that we understand." Because that's what fear has a habit of doing. Is fear has a habit of driving us backward. It drives us back to our comfort zones. It drives us back to our what we know. It helps us to build into this kind of self-preservation mentality. And as soon as we drive back, that's when fear wins. And we see what fear does in the lives of the faithful in our scripture today. When fear wins out, the first thing it does is it challenges us in how much we trust ourselves. We don't trust ourselves. Fear challenges us to lose faith in what we know and in how we're doing. Sure, many of you have experienced that. A time when it's a very tight point in a game where things are just not going right, and it feels like every time you touch the ball or every time you're doing anything in the game that it's coming out wrong and you don't know what is going on, and all of a sudden all of your skill and all of your training completely fly out the window. And the more you are worried about your mistakes, what happens? The more you mess up. Because that has become the entire focus. And that's exactly what happened with the children of Israel. Is they were so caught up in their fear and so caught up in trying to fix their fear that they immediately lost trust in themselves, lost trust in their God, and they made poor decisions. Because that's what fear does. Fear leads us into poor decisions when it causes us to doubt ourselves. And to doubt our God, and to doubt our abilities that God has given us. Causes us to second guess things, but not necessarily in a healthy way. Yesterday was an absolutely beautiful day, and after I had gotten pancakes from the church and brought them back to the house, and everybody was eating pancakes, I had one of those parent crisis moments, where I'm like, what I really want to do, now that I don't have anything else that has to happen today, is I really want to go back to bed. I really want to unleash my children to do whatever the devil is they want to do, as long as they don't bother me. I really just want to have my day. And then I had that other part of me that is like, it is a beautiful day, and on beautiful days, good parents would take their children outside and would find something for them to do. And so, has anybody else had those battles of the good parent, bad parent? And you're like, can I really get by with just being a horrible parent today and nobody will ever find out? Well, my good parent side won. And so we loaded up the children, much to their chagrin, because they would have rather just stayed in the house all day playing video games. But we loaded up the children and we went to Golden Memorial State Park, which I didn't even know it existed. It's a nice little park. Went to the park, had a picnic, played on the playground. It was a great day. We decided while we were there, we were going to go see the second biggest loblolly pine tree in the state of Mississippi. Has anybody seen the great big pine tree there? There's a reason for that, because nobody wants to bother with it. We didn't know that. I just saw on the little brochure, it's the second biggest tree in the state. Surely folks want to go look at this tree. So we decided we would go out the tree. Now, one thing you got to know about the state park is it's not one of these great, great, big, nice, fully funded state parks like Roosevelt. No, it's a very small park working with very limited resources, including the map that was drawn somewhere around 1962 and has been photocopied every time since then. And so what I thought was a road wasn't really a road. The pathways that I was looking for really didn't exist anymore. Because again, as you are testament to, nobody's gone looking for that tree since the 80s. And so we take off on this hiking trip. Should have known better, because as our son John said, Daddy, we're not wilderness people. We're sit in the house and take nap kind of people. And so we should have listened, but I didn't. It's like, no, we're being good parents. We're going to go hiking. Yeah, bad idea. But we were going to do it. So we went and we set off. And it was nice trail. Things are looking good. It's wide. It's clean. It's beautiful. And then we get to our first place where it says, okay, if you want to go see this destination, you turn here. If you want to go see the pine tree, you turn here. And it immediately points down this very steep hill off into where it's not so nice and clean anymore. But according to the map, there are actually two routes to get there. And it looked like that I could stay on this very nice, clean, well-cut pathway and get there too? Well, of course, my children, being younger and limberer and much more full of energy than I am, they immediately take off down the hill. And so, being a good parent, I'm like, this is time to let them spread their wings. Who has a telephone? John had his telephone. Call us if you get lost. You go ahead and take the road less traveled. I'm going to stay up here where I know I'm not going to get stuck. I'm going to follow this pathway because it's what I expect it to be and because I don't trust what's going down there. Now, mind you, I completely turned my children loose in the wilderness. But they're young. I figured they could outrun anything that was out there. And so we turn them loose. Call us. We will meet you at the pine tree. And so Heather and I enjoy our nice little stroll on this path. Again, it's not the path we were directed on, but it's the path we knew was what we wanted. And so we went, and it was beautiful, and it was wonderful, and it was a beautiful day. And we went up over to this hill, and we found that there's a reason that there's not this telling you to go this way to the tree. Because right at the top of this hill, there's this washout. And it just goes straight down. And so then I'm faced with a decision. Do I backtrack, go down the steep hill, try to find my children, or do I try to make my way down this precarious way? Well, of course, having a Y chromosome, you know what my choice was. No, this is the path I have decided to follow, and by God, we're not going off this path. Because that would be to admit that I was wrong. It would be to admit that I should have trusted the signs. And so we begin to make our way down this very precarious way. And finally we find, and once again, but then we realize that once we make it down this one, that there's another one, and then another one, and then another one down into the pits of hell, trying to find this pine tree. All because I would not do what it was I was supposed to do. And why didn't I go down that way? Because I was scared. Because I didn't know what was down there. Because it was very poorly cleaned out. Because it looked horrible. But even though the sign said this was the way I needed to go, I did not trust it. No, I let my fear guide me down a very poor decision. We found a way to cut across, backtracked, called the children, because we don't have cell service in our backyard, but we have it in the middle of the wilderness of Lee County. And so we called the children. We all got together. By then, everybody's tired and whining, and we never made it to see the tree. I'm sure it's a glorious thing, but I will live perfectly happy never laying my eyes on the second largest pine tree in the state of Mississippi. But fear does that. When all the errors are saying, this is what you need to do. Yes, you don't understand it. Yes, it's not quite what you expect, but this is the direction you need to go. But fear says, no, I've got a better idea. I'm going to go with what's comfortable and with what's understandable and which is what I want it to be. And that's what the Israelites did. They just took the wrong path. They knew what they were supposed to do. Moses had given very clear instructions. You wait and I will return. They knew what God expected, but yet and still it was scary and it was unknown. And so they said, no, we're going to take the path of least resistance. We're going to do what we know and what we're comfortable with. And they find themselves in a washout. They find themselves headed down a road that leads nothing to destruction. And fear does the same to us. When fear wins and we doubt that which we know and that which we believe, then it leads us to paths of destruction. Whether that is in our lives, whether that is in the games we play, whether that is when we are hiking with our family. If we do not pay attention, it will lead us in the wrong paths. But there's something else that fear does. Is fear not only clouds our judgments and leads us to poor decisions, but fear also robs us of our trust in the other people who are on the journey with us. I want you to notice that. If you still have your Bibles open, good for you. You're paying attention. I want you to turn to verse 21. So Moses has come down. He has seen all of this horrible idol worship. He has broken the tablets. He has ground up the cow into powder, made everybody drink it, which that is hardcore parenting right there. And he goes through all of this, and then he turns to Aaron. Aaron, who he had left in charge. Aaron, who's supposed to be the adult in the room. He turns to Aaron, verse 21, and says to Aaron, "What did these people do to you? Why did you cause them to do such a terrible sin?" Aaron answered, "Don't be angry, Master. You know that these people are always ready to do wrong. The people said to me, 'Moses led us out of Egypt. We don't know what's happened to him. Make us gods who will lead us.' So I told the people, 'Take off your gold jewelry.' They gave me the gold. I threw it in the fire, and out came the calf." Talk about being thrown under the bus. Moses comes to Aaron and said, "Where were you in all of this? Why did you, the one who I had left in charge, you are the only other person in this whole experience that has been right there by my side in every moment that God has wrought. You who should know better, where were you in all this?" And he's like, "Don't be mad at me. It's their fault. You know you can't trust them. You know they're not doing what's right. You know they aren't going to do their job. And I can't do mine if they aren't going to do theirs. It's all their fault. They're the ones who asked for it. And I just said, 'Hey, give me your jewelry.' And lo and behold, it magically formed into a calf. It's not my fault, it's theirs." Now, mind you, Aaron has been there with Moses every step of the way. Aaron has been there and seen all the amazing things that God is doing. And these are not strangers to Aaron. These are his people. These are his relations. These are the people he has lived with for his entire life. These are his people, and when the time comes and he is scared of what's about to happen, he immediately throws them under the bus. These people that he has journeyed with day in and day out, when things got scary for him, he immediately threw it on them. And we do the same thing. When we get scared, we immediately start looking for other people to blame for our failures, other people to blame for our problems. We do that as people. We do that as a community. We do that as a country. We are constantly looking for someone to blame for our mistakes because we're scared. We're scared of what the repercussions are going to be for our bad idea. We're scared that all of a sudden we're going to lose our place, that we're going to lose our identity. And so we look for someone else to blame. And that's exactly what Aaron did. He said, "No, I'm not the one who failed. It's all their fault. I didn't lead them down the wrong path. They took me kicking and screaming." And fear causes us to do the same things. When we're messing up, when we're failing, and we want to blame it on our teammates. "Oh, if only they were doing their job. If only they were doing it right. I can only do so much." Because we're scared. We're scared we're not going to get it right. We're scared we're going to lose our place. We're scared the coach is going to think less of us. We're scared our parents are going to think less of us. We're scared everybody's going to be disappointed and everybody's going to be mad. We have all sorts of fears. Because that's the other thing fear does, is fear grows. Once fear starts, it grows and it continues to grow until it's finally stopped. But it not only robs us and clouds our judgment, but it also clouds the way that we view the people who are there to love us and to support us. And in doing so, we rob ourselves of the greatest blessings of love and support that we have. Because here's the reality about this thing with life, whether it's a team or whether it's just living, you can't do this alone. You've got to have people who will love you and support you and to hold you accountable. But for some reason, those people we most care about are the ones we turn on first when it gets tight. And so fear grows, as I said, and it grows and it grows and it grows until finally someone steps up and says, "We're done." Let's turn in our scripture one more time. Verse 25. Moses saw the people were acting wildly. Aaron had let them get out of control and become fools in front of their enemies. So Moses stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Let anyone who wants to follow the Lord come to me." And all the people from the family of Levi gathered around Moses. You see, once fear starts winning and once fear gets out of control in our lives, there's only one way to stop it. And that's to start all over. It's just to end it. You can't fix it. You can't backtrack it. You can't walk it back. No, the only way to stop it is just to start again. And that's what Moses said. Okay, here's what we're going to do. It has gotten way out of control. The people have gone crazy. The leadership has gone crazy. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to start at ground zero. From this point on, anyone who wants to follow God, come to me right now. I don't care what you've done before. I don't care how this has played out. I don't care what you were doing 20 minutes ago or 20 years ago. If you are willing to make the decision to start over with God, then come and start right now. And people do. And the same is true in our lives. It's sometimes in our lives when the fear gets out of control, what we've got to do is we've just got to stop. We've got to stop trying to fix it. We've got to stop trying to move it forward. We've just got to stop where it is and start all over. And here's the amazing thing is that we worship a God who understands that and a God who is always willing to let us start again. If we'll just let it go and start over with a new commitment and a new change and a new willingness, letting go of all of the failures of the past. That's what you have to do in the season. You can't carry the loss to the next week. Because what happens if you enter into the next week with last week's loss on your mind? You're already down. And then you carry the next one with you, and what happens? You're even down further. And lo and behold, you have beat yourself before the other team even shows up. No. You got to just stop it where it is. Shake it off and say it's a brand new day. It doesn't matter what happened last week. All we're concerned about is what's happening right now. And that's true in the sports you play. That's true in the lives we all live. Every day we have a new opportunity to let go of our failures of the past and to start again, because we worship and serve a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God who is always willing to give us another chance and another and another. Don't let fear win. There are going to come times where we are scared. There are going to come times where we are afraid and where we don't understand what's happening next. But in those times, if we just trust ourselves, if we trust our God, if we trust the people that God has put around us, and we trust in those friendships and those family relationships, God's going to see us through every moment of fear into something glorious and wonderful. Because God never forgets His promises. And time again throughout the Scripture, He promises for those He loves and those He has called, God will do great things. We don't understand how it happens. We don't understand when it happens. But we can bank on the fact that it will happen as long as we trust Him. Let us pray. Glorious Father, we just thank You, O Lord, for all of Your many blessings. We just thank You that You are a God of multiple chances. And we just pray, O Lord, that You will constantly work in our lives and that You will constantly be with us. And that You will speak to our fears. That, Lord, when we are in the midst of those fears, that You will just be a calming presence that will say, "Hold on, I'm still working in the midst of this. I've still got this. I'm still holding on to you. God, forgive us for the times our fears send us down the wrong path. Forgive us for the times that our fears turn us against each other. Forgive us, O Lord, for the time that fears win, when God has already won. Give us strength, give us courage, that each and every day we will recommit ourselves to you. For we ask these things in the blessed and holy name of Christ. Amen.